Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I've entitled, How to Fulfill God's Will. This is my third day teaching in that series, and this is a follow-up to two previous series that I've done. One is entitled, How to Find God's Will, and the second one is How to Follow God's Will. Now we're into that third series talking about how to fulfill God's will. And I've already said a lot of things. I've used primarily Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, that if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. And then we also use 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that where Paul said, I am the least of all of the apostles. I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. But this grace wasn't wasted on me, or it wasn't in vain. I labored more abundantly. And this week, I've been just trying to emphasize that if you really want to follow and fulfill God's will, you're going to have to obey what He tells you to do. And that's nearly a dirty word to some people. There's a lot of people, especially sometimes I see, you know, I preach grace as strong as anybody I know. If there's anybody that preaches grace stronger than me, it's not on purpose, because, man, this is what changed my life, and I believe it. But there's some people that have taken the liberty that comes with understanding that God loves us separate from our performance, and they just get to a place that it doesn't matter how you act. It doesn't matter as far as God's love towards you. God doesn't answer our prayers because we deserve it, but it does matter how you act, because Satan will take advantage of any time you get off of the path. Satan is going to come and eat your lunch and pop the bag, so you need to learn to live holy. Let me take another example of a man of God over here in 1 Kings chapter 17, and this is Elijah. And I just want to share real briefly, I've got an entire series on Elijah. I'm not going to teach this whole thing. But I'm just going to use a few of these verses to illustrate a point that I'm making here about how that you have to obey. You must obey if you are going to fulfill God's will. In the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, it says, And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And I wish I had time to put all of this in context, but Ahab was a very ungodly king, and his wife, Jezebel, was a witch, and she had killed all of the prophets of God that she could possibly find. So for Elijah to come and appear before Ahab could have cost him his life. And, you know, there's a lot of people that they might have prayed and have sought God, but then if God spoke to them and gave them a word and says, there's going to be a drought, and you need to go and tell Ahab. There's a lot of people that would have stayed in their closet and they would have prayed and said, Oh God, send the drought. But they wouldn't have obeyed God. Let me just ask you, if Elijah hadn't have obeyed God and if the drought had come, the king Ahab would have been able to write it off as coincidental, as maybe not being divine in nature, as not being the judgment of God, and he might have missed this. But because the man of God not only heard from God, but then went and at the expense or the risk of his life, went and delivered this message and did what God told him to do, then when the drought came, there was no doubt about why it came. And you can see that over in the 18th chapter, that Ahab had sent his messengers to every kingdom on the face of the earth looking for Elijah, because he knew exactly where the source of this drought had come from. And it brought the nation of Israel to its knees. But you know, all of this happened because a man not only heard from God. See, to hear God's will is one thing, but then to fulfill it, you've got to obey and do what God told you to do. And so Elijah did what God said. And because he acted on what God said, you could, if you studied the first, the next two or three chapters, 17, 18, and 19, Elijah became a central figure in the nation and actually started telling King Ahab what to do and told him to assemble all of the people together and gave him orders. And the king was taking orders from the man of God. Why? Because he had a word from God, but he acted on it. Faith without works is dead, James chapter 2. You've got to act on what God shows you. And again, this really shouldn't have to be emphasized the way I'm doing it, but today people take one truth and go to the exclusion or the extreme of everything else, and every truth of God is balanced by other truths from God. And you've got to realize that, yes, God's grace, He extends things to you and He loves you independent of your performance, but it is important that you obey and do what God instructs you to do if you want to see the full results. Let's just say that Elijah stayed in his prayer closet and prayed and the drought came, but then he wouldn't have been recognized. If he would have stood up 3 years later and he says, "This is because I prayed and God gave me a word," Ahab would have looked at him and he said, "Yeah, right. Anybody can claim that." But Elijah stood up, see, and acted when there was no evidence of any drought. You can't just stay in your prayer closet and pray and ask something to happen, and then after the power of God falls, stand up and say, "Man, I was believing for this, and this is the fulfillment of what God told me." No, you're going to have to be obedient and step out when there's no evidence of anything, and you're just acting on the word that God gave you. And then look at this in verse 2. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying..." Now, before I tell you the next word that God gave him, let me point this out. That when Elijah went to Ahab and delivered this prophecy, and it could have cost him his life because Ahab and Jezebel had been killing all of the prophets of God, God didn't tell him what the end result was going to be. Now, it might have subtly been there because the Lord says it's not going to rain until Elijah said so, and that implied that Elijah had to live, or otherwise this drought would have continued forever. So if you thought about it, I'm sure that Elijah had some confidence or some assurance that God was going to protect him, but he didn't have any specifics. He didn't know how it was going to happen. And he didn't get the specifics from God about how God was going to protect him until he acted on the first thing that God told him. And right here is a tremendous principle about how to fulfill God's will. And that is that it's going to come in steps and in stages. God is not going to take you from never having seen His will come to pass into your life to where everything is just fulfilled all in one step. There's going to be many steps along the way. And if you wait and say, "Well, God, I'll obey you, but if I do this, well, then what's going to happen next? And what after this?" And if you want to have the entire plan laid out in front of you before you act, you aren't ever going to have God reveal Himself to you. Because, here, look at it from God's perspective. Why would God show you step number 10 if you haven't ever acted on step number 1? All that would do is make you more accountable and therefore more guilty because you rejected not only step number 1, but you rejected 1 through 10. God will give you things one step at a time. He will show you that here's what I want you to do, and you take that step. And as you take that step, He'll show you the next step. See, this is what happened with Elijah. He told him to go to the king and deliver a message that could have cost him his life. And he didn't tell him how he was going to preserve his life or what was going to happen. But after he took the first step and delivered the message, then the word of the Lord came unto him saying, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." Now notice, after he obeyed the first thing, God says, "Now, here's the way I'm going to preserve your life. You go to this brook, and you're going to drink of the water of the brook, and I've commanded ravens to bring you bread and flesh every morning and every evening." He didn't give Elijah that step or that next thing that was going to happen until he had fulfilled the first thing. And see, this is how fulfilling God's will comes in your life. You don't have the whole picture. Now, you may have a vague picture. You know, recently when the Lord has led us to take this expansion and we bought this property and we're beginning to do some things, I've had a number of people come to me and say, "So did you know this back when the Lord first touched your life?" And they were saying it like, "I bet you had no idea that this is a total shock to you." And you know what I've had to tell them? No, I knew this from the beginning. I mean, from 1968. Now, I had no details, but I just knew in my heart that God had done something special and that He was going to use me to reach people all over the world. I didn't know the details. I didn't know we'd be in Colorado, Woodland Park, Colorado. I didn't know I'd have a Bible school. I didn't know how it would get done. But no, I'm not surprised by these things. I'm blessed by it, but I'm not surprised at all. And I believe that Elijah knew that God was going to take care of him because there was going to be a 3.5-year drought, and he said, according to your word, which meant that he was probably going to speak and end it. And he knew that God was going to use this to turn that nation towards him. But as far as the specifics of how it got handled, he didn't know that. He didn't know that God was going to send him to this brook and use ravens to bring him bread and flesh every morning and every evening. I don't believe he knew the specifics. He just knew that God was going to take care of it. See, that's the way it is with me. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I knew that God had done something in my life and put a message in my heart that was going to go around the world and make a worldwide impact. And I've known that since day one. And we're just beginning to see some of these things fulfilled. But if I hadn't have obeyed the very first things that God told me, you know, the Lord told me to leave the church that I was brought up in, and I love those people. But those people did not want to change. There was a reason that those people belonged to that denomination. They wanted it. They embraced it. And when I started teaching things separately, they asked me to leave. They encouraged me to leave. And you know what? I didn't want to, but I obeyed God. I launched out on my own. I pastored 3 little churches. I've done all kinds of things. I've gone to the ends of the earth. I've been to places that if it's not the end of the earth, you can see it from there. It's that close. And I took these steps and just followed God step by step by step. And you know what? God wouldn't have revealed to me the things that He's done in the last 12 months if I hadn't have taken those other steps. Elijah, first of all, obeyed God, and then God told him, here's how the next step works. Here's how I'm going to provide for you. Here's how I'm going to protect you. And notice, he says in verse 3, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Boy, this is a great truth, and I've got like 1.5 hours teaching on this one thing. I'm just going to say this quickly. But God did not send Elijah's provision to where he was. He sent Elijah's provision to where he told him to go. And if Elijah hadn't have obeyed, God would have been stacking up all of this provision. These ravens would have been bringing bread and flesh, and there would have been all of this food piled up, and Elijah could have starved to death saying, God, I obeyed you. Why didn't you provide for me? God did provide for him, but he provided for him not where he was, where he told him to go. And notice in the next verse, it says in verse 5, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. If Elijah hadn't have obeyed God and have gone where he told him to go, Elijah could have starved to death, or Elijah could have been found by Ahab and could have been killed and put to death. God had a plan, and it wasn't because Elijah deserved it. It wasn't because Elijah was the holiest man on the face of the earth. You can read in the 19th chapter, Elijah had serious problems. He even wanted to commit suicide. And God spoke to him in an audible voice and told him to do 3 things. And Elijah just chose not to do 2 out of 3 things that were spoken to him in an audible voice. Elijah was not perfect. God called him not because he was worthy of it, but just because God, by grace, extended this. And Elijah obeyed him to a degree. And to the degree that Elijah obeyed, then God's power manifests. God extended grace and had a plan for Elijah. But Elijah only saw God's will fulfilled in his life to the degree that he obeyed and followed God. Now, it's very clear to see in the 17th and 18th chapter how his following God produced. And he saw great things. He saw a drought come on the land. He saw a miraculous provision through the ravens every morning and every evening. He saw the widow of Zarephath miraculously sustained. A little tiny bit of food was multiplied for 3 years and sustained her and her son and Elijah. This woman's son was raised from the dead here in the 17th chapter of 1 Kings. In the 18th chapter, Elijah called fire down out of heaven and consumed a sacrifice and killed all the prophets of Baal. and turned an entire nation to God, the greatest revival recorded in the Bible to this point. And then he called for the end of the rain and travailed before God seven times, and God sent the answer. And Elijah was so fired up, he outran a chariot for 20 miles. Man, he was pumped. All of those things are good, and it's easy to see that all of these miraculous things happened because Elijah heard from God and then obeyed it. His obedience didn't cause God to do it, but it allowed God to do it because Satan couldn't take advantage of it. He was obeying God. But in the 19th chapter, Elijah got into depression, asked God to kill him, to take away his life. And then God appeared to him and told him to do three things, and he just flat out disobeyed God. And because of that, we don't know exactly what the full potential of Elijah's ministry would have been because he didn't do all of it. God told him to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria and Jehu to be king over Israel. And Elijah didn't do that. And you can prove it because his successor, Elisha, came along and he did those two things. He fulfilled what God told Elijah to do. The only thing Elijah did was go anoint his successor, Elisha. In other words, he was so bummed out, he says, I want out of it. I'll call my replacement, and he anointed him, but he did not do the other things. And because of that, Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, came and surrounded Samaria, and there was a severe famine, and people were eating their own children and eating dung, selling dung for expensive prices because the famine was so severe. Did you know all of that came as a result of Elijah not doing what God told him to do? And there was a man named Naboth that Ahab the king killed and took over his vineyard. And it was a terrible injustice that was done. And did you know why that happened? Because Elijah didn't anoint Jehu to be king. If Jehu would have been king, that wouldn't have happened. There was a revival that was taking place at this time. And when Jehu took over, Jehu eliminated the worship of Baal, turned the entire nation back to God. If that would have happened during this time when all of the nation had fallen down in the 18th chapter and said, the Lord, He is the God, the Lord, He is the God. If they would have done that then, who knows what the results would have been? It could have extended the life of the nation of Israel for 50 or 100 years, or maybe it would have made the difference that they never would have turned away from God. See, it's hard for us to evaluate what might have been, should have been, could have been. We can see, though, that the things that did happen that were positive were because Elijah went and did. And let me just say that one of the reasons that some of you are not experiencing the fulfillment of God's will in your life is because you aren't going and doing what God has told you to do. You've let finances, family, circumstances, your own fears, and insecurities or whatever talk you out of doing it, that you know what God wants you to do, but God, I just can't do it. If you are going to fulfill God's will, you've got to be willing and obedient. You've got to go and do. Again, look at these verses. God said that I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. God said I have commanded. That puts it in the past tense. He's already spoken to the ravens. And since a raven could fly faster than Elijah could walk or run, one of the ways that Elijah was able to find out where along this brook that he was supposed to stay, I mean, I assume that it was miles and miles long. How did he know he would be in exactly the right spot? One of the ways that he knew is because when he got there, God had already commanded the ravens, and they already were there with the bread and with the flesh, and Elijah knew the right spot because this provision was there. But notice that the provision was there. It's like in football when the quarterback throws the pass. He doesn't throw it directly to the receiver where the receiver is at that moment. He leads him and he throws the pass to where the receiver is going to be. If you threw the pass directly at the receiver, then as the receiver continues to move, it would be behind him. It doesn't work that way. God doesn't send His provision to you directly. He sends His provision to where He told you to be. If God told you to take a step of faith, and, you know, there's a lot of examples, but I deal with this a lot. People come into our Bible college, and God tells them to come here, and they want to come, and they know that that's God. But then they get to saying, but God, I don't have the money. I don't have the provision. How am I going to happen? It's not going to happen back where you are. It's where God tells you to go. If God told you to come to Colorado Springs or any of the other Bible colleges that we have, and of course, if He told you to do anything else, His provision is going to be where He sends you, not where you are. His provision is there where He told you to go. And the reason that a lot of people aren't receiving the provision of God is because they aren't all there. Amen. You have to go and do what God called you to do. And if you aren't going to be obedient, you aren't going to eat the good of the land. You aren't going to see things happen. You know, this is something that everybody recognizes. Spirit-filled, non-spirit-filled, grace-oriented, legalistic-oriented. People just understand that in order to get the right results, there are things that you have to do. And you can tell that by observation. But where the problem comes, people see that if a person isn't obeying, they don't get the right results. And the problem has been that religion has come along and said, that's because God is angry at you. God won't bless you unless you do this and this and this and this and this. That's not it at all. God deals with us by grace. And God is not angry at you if you haven't fulfilled His will, if you aren't obeying Him. God's grace is there. And you know what? I believe that if Elijah had never gone to this brook and obeyed God, I believe God had already commanded the ravens, and those ravens would have still brought the bread and the flesh. And if Elijah wasn't there to eat it, it would have just piled up. Maybe other animals would have eaten it. Somebody else would have found it. But God would have still been faithful. God, by grace, made the provision, but it wouldn't have done Elijah any good if he hadn't have obeyed. So it is true that if you don't obey, you don't see this end results. But it's not because God quit giving. God is still giving. It's just He's sending His blessing to where He told you to be. His anointing is on what He's told you to do. And if you aren't going to obey, it doesn't change God's attitude towards you. It doesn't change God's faithfulness. God is still a good God. But it means that you won't experience it. You won't eat the good of the land if you don't obey what God told you to do. So if God has given you direction, if you have a purpose for your life, if you found out what God's will is, don't let anything stop you from doing it. You know, I'm not a perfect example in this, but I can tell you that God, if He was telling me to do something, and I've proven this in a number of my actions, but when God tells me to do something, I will do it. If it hair-lips the devil, if it costs me all of my friends, I've done it, and I've lost friends, and I've gone through a lot of things. And I may not do it properly. I may not do it exactly the way it's supposed to be done. I'm not saying that I do everything right, but I have made a decision that I am going to obey God to the best of my ability, regardless of the consequences to myself or to other people. This is a commitment that I have to obey God to the best of my understanding. And yet I understand the grace of God, and I believe God loves me. I don't have to obey God for God to love me. But to keep Satan out of my life, to keep my heart sensitive to God, I do need to obey God. And I tell you, if you're going to fulfill God's will, you have to learn to obey. I'm out of time today, but we do have more to share. I encourage you to listen to our announcer and call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Fulfill God's Will, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD, as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled Learn to Obey, free of charge. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order.
Again, I'd like to remind you that we have taken these three teachings on how to find God's will, how to follow God's will, and how to fulfill God's will, and we put them into a package, what we call God's Will Package. And there's a total of 15 teachings on either CD or DVD, and then also we're including with it this DVD that has five testimonies of people who have found God's will, who are following it, and fulfilling God's will. And I tell you, this is inspirational. It'll fire you up. And so you're going to get the Word that will teach you how to do it. You will get testimonies of people who are doing it. And together, I believe that this package will make a tremendous impact. We've discounted it to the lowest price that we possibly could, and I encourage you to please call or write and receive this God's Will Package today.
You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 12th through the 17th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 18th through the 19th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado at Caris Christian Center, October 3rd. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 4th through the 8th, in Buxton, Derbyshire, in England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 18th through the 20th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 11th through the 13th.
There's much more than just classroom activity at Caris Bible College. Students participate in hands-on ministry, like working on the ministry helpline.
I'm a first-year student at CBC, and I work in the phone center full-time.
I'm a second-year student at CBC, and I work full-time in the phone ministry.
90% of the volunteers in the phone center are Caris Bible College students.
Thank you for calling Andrew Womack Ministries.
80% of the employees are CBC graduates.
I'm a graduate of CBC last year in 2009, and I've been working in the phone center for 2 years.
The ministry and the college are working hand in hand to deliver the gospel truth every day.
We're changing lives and we're changing the world one life at a time.